In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me.
Those are such comforting words to know that we're surrounded by God's love in the midst of storms. And they're not always, you know, hurricanes, as disastrous as those are. Sometimes that storm would be a violence and evil thrust upon our nation, like the tragedies in Las Vegas, a shooting here just a week and a half ago. And, you know, often our response is to just, well, thank the Lord that he watches over us. And we say things like, we're praying for the victims' families. Is that an appropriate thing to say? We're going to talk about it because someone who has spent much of his career talking about how we talk and communication is on the line with us today. Tim Muehlhoff is professor of communication at Biola University, and he's written several books, including his latest, Winsome Persuasion, Christian Influence in a Post-Christian World. And I want to get together with Tim from time to time just to talk about the current issues of the day. Tim, first of all, it's good to have you back on Connecting Faith. Welcome.
Oh, it's great to be back, Neil. Thanks for having me on.
So, you know, when we say things like, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with you, or praying for the victims' families, when that comes from a conversation, is that maybe all that we need to say, or is there more?
Well, Neil, I think when tragedies happen back to back to back, like we're seeing now with, you know, Hurricane Harvey, we're seeing Charlottesville, we're seeing the Las Vegas shooting, I'm just concerned that our response, with the best of intentions, is coming across glib and unrealistic. In other words, the Las Vegas shooting happens, and I say, with the best of intentions, I say, listen, I just want you to know you're in my thoughts and prayers. I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. And I think a person could legitimately say, what are you praying for me for? Like what are you praying? And to be like, well, that, you know, that God would be with you in this hard time, that he would minister to you, that maybe even help people recover. And I think the logical question is, okay, hey, could he use that on the front end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be in God's thoughts now. Why wasn't I in God's thoughts a half hour before a shooter kills 58 people and wounds 500 people? And as Christians, we're in this really weird place because of what we believe about God, that he's loving, kind, powerful, and is aware of all things. So now you ask the question, well, how is he not guilty of what the law calls depraved indifference, which means if I go by a lake and I see a person drowning, the law does not require me to jump into the lake because I might drown. But the law requires me to do something, make a phone call, try to stop somebody, throw a flotation device into the lake. So here's God who knows what's going to happen at Mandalay Bay, 32nd floor, and why didn't he stop it on the front end? And so I needed your prayers a half hour before the shooting started. I don't need your prayers now because it appears that God is really late to the scene and offers help only after the fact.
Is there a way that we can talk about, you know, God's sovereignty in the light of this, or is this not the time to even bring it up?
Yeah, I think that's good, Neil. The book of Proverbs says a word spoken in the right circumstances is compared to fine jewelry. And so I think the very first thing we do, of course, is we just lament, is we just simply say to the victims, to the survivors, I am just so sorry what happened. It is a tragedy. And I just want you to know my heart breaks for you guys. And we're going to give money. We're going to give time and effort. We just want you to know that we're there for you. I think that's the first response. And then later, I think we can begin to offer thoughts about making sense of God in such really hard situations. I had a friend of mine whose son was 2 weeks away from being released from Afghanistan. He was in the National Guard. And his father prayed this son through a 3-year tour, and 2 weeks before he's to be released, his Humvee hits a landmine and he is blown to pieces. Well, that is not the time for me to step in and say anything other than, I just want you to know I'm really sad. This is tragic. I can't imagine if my son died that way. But as Christians, we're compelled to say, hey, we just want you to know we're praying for you. And I just want you to know that God's there and he loves you. I think we run the risk with the best of intentions of just frustrating people like, okay, but where, I mean, come on, he's God. You know what I mean? He's God. Why didn't he stop? I mean, a security guard apparently was aware of the situation and got shot. Why couldn't this security guard been aware of it 45 minutes, an hour before it happened? God could have done that, or God could have caused the gun to jam. He could have done any of these things. So why in the world? And if we just say at that point, well, you know, it's just kind of a mystery, or I don't know, you know, all things work together for good, or I just don't have an answer for that. Man, I think that's brutal for us as Christ's ambassadors. I think we need to have some sort of working answer that eventually we can give to the world of why we still believe in the goodness of God, and yet Las Vegas can happen.
Well, and I think, and I'd love to just have you kind of weigh in on that, because I think we probably all wrestle with that question, right? Does God cause these tragedies? And, you know, why does he? I mean, that's the universal question, and Christians aren't immune from asking those, but we feel like we should have an answer.
Yeah, Neil, that's good. And I do think the very first question we need to ask is, does God micromanage life? Does he, with Hurricane Harvey, say, okay, a hurricane's going to hit that house, miss that house, take that person, spare that person? I don't get the sense of that from Jesus. I don't see Jesus operating that way. For instance, he stands in front of Jerusalem and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you in my arms, but you would not. And so I think Jesus allows people the freedom both to accept or reject his message. And I think that's the thing that makes us human, is that we have this type of freedom where we can choose to love God or abandon God. But if we choose to abandon God, then how's God supposed to stop evil if he's not going to revoke our free will? Like, let's say this for an example. Let's say he's going to use a taser gun, his own cosmic taser gun. So when somebody starts to sin, be it a shooter in Las Vegas, or somebody's going to rape somebody, or somebody's going to cheat on their taxes, God steps in and says, listen, you're not going to do that. I'm going to zap you proportionately. So people are going to cheat on their taxes, get a mild zap that keeps them from doing that. The Las Vegas shooter gets a zap that paralyzes him and knocks him to the floor of his hotel room. Now, can God end all evil? Yeah, I bet you it'd take about half hour, and he's gotten rid of all evil in the world whatsoever. Anytime you want to act out, God stops you dead in your tracks by using this cosmic taser gun zap. Now, in a half hour, what kind of world does he have? He has a world in which there's no evil, but everybody acts like beaten, twitchy dogs, because the only reason I'm doing good is because I can't do evil. The only reason I'm tolerating God is because he's going to zap me if I act out and do something. And that ultimately is not the world God wants. He could get it, but he wants people to freely choose to love him and to follow him. And I think at the end of the day, that's why we grieve, just like God grieved during the whole shooting. He grieved as he watched people misuse free will. And again, I think he was acting. I don't want to say that he's passively. I think he's acting. I think a security guard did learn that something was happening and took gunfire. I think people acted heroically to save people's lives. I think that was prompted by the Holy Spirit when people are acting heroically. So it's not that God just leaves us on our own, but I think at the end of the day, he doesn't want a world of twitchy human beings who are afraid to act out because they're going to get a zap.
I mean, I guess it calls all of us at whatever circumstance or situation, you know, heroic doesn't have to be, you know, shielding a body. It could be just a cup of cold water, perhaps, as well. That if we're seeing the world through, you know, eyes of compassion as Jesus would have them, then there's any number of things we could or should do.
Yeah, Neil, these situations are so ironic because at the time of the Las Vegas shooting or the Pulse shooting, year and a half ago at a gay nightclub, we see the absolute best and worst of people. We see the worst in that a man stands on the 32nd floor and just, hearing the sound of the gunfire, that we got from some of the recordings from cell phones was heartbreaking, yeah. Just to hear the continuous shooting of bullets. But at the same time, you saw the best of people, people shielding others from bullets, people stealing a pickup truck and just carting people left and right to get them to emergency rooms. You see people flooding with help and stuff like that. So we see the best and the worst, and God sees that as well. And he wants a world where people choose to pick the good over the bad. And unfortunately, we don't have that type of world today.
Tim Muehlhoff is a professor of communication at Biola University, author of a number of great books. His latest is called Winsome Persuasion, Christian Influence in a Post-Christian World. And we're talking about, you know, how do we relate to the culture in which we live in a way that's honoring and right, Lord. Tim, we look forward to chatting with you again down the road. Thanks for your wise words and your encouragement.
Thanks, Neil.
Great to talk with you. Tim Muehlhoff joining us. Connect with him on a biweekly basis here on Connecting Faith. And thank you for listening today to the program. If you missed part of the broadcast or want to hear a portion of it again, whether it's Paul Coughlin or just our present conversation with Tim Muehlhoff, we post those interviews on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com. And then just click on Connecting Faith for the update. Glad to have you listening in. Remember, wherever you go, you can listen to us on the Faith Radio Network app. You can download that. That's free. And we'll get information about that on our website as well, myfaithradio.com.